Good morning, church.
Morning.
What a great day to be in church. I remember as a 16-year-old sitting for the first time at a Pentecostal service, and for the first time I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And halfway through the service, as he preached about the crucified Christ, I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed. And I knew for the first time that Jesus had died just for me. Just for me. It's a personal thing, salvation. When we receive the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God, our life is never the same again. I love it when God totally messes us up. Who loves God messing you up? I love the Holy Spirit when He comes and messes us up. And so we're great candidates for God today, amen?
Amen?
We're candidates for God today, that God will come and speak to our hearts and lives. I really appreciate the scriptures that were read this morning. Who enjoyed them?
Yes.
Just beautiful as we take communion to hear those familiar scriptures, but they're never too familiar that they don't lose the impact of the Word of God on our hearts and lives. I want to share with you this morning on the subject of redemptive lift. Redemptive lift. The scripture that I'm going to use is from Hebrews chapter 12, and there'll be several others as we go along on this short message this morning. Is for the joy set before him, Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a mystery that comes with redemption. I call it redemptive lift. The imagery is one of buying a slave to give him his freedom, of paying a ransom price and bringing release. It's a message of deliverance. Freedom from bondage and tradition. Release from guilt and shame. Redemptive lift proclaims and declares where there's judgment, there will be an overflow of mercy. Where there is condemnation, forgiveness flows. Where there is error, truth will prevail, setting you free. Where there's mourning, it will be turned into praise. Where there's ashes, God will restore you with a crown of beauty. Where there's despair, He provides a new garment of praise. The very nature of redemptive lift is not to push you down, but to lift you up. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, speaking of Jesus, God's chosen servant, it proclaims this: a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to its victory. The joy set before him, brothers and sisters, is all about me and it's all about you. He tastes death for everyone to bring many sons into glory. This means your disqualifications qualify you. Did you get that? Your disqualifications qualify you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I listened to the radio this morning and they're talking about how much fish people are going to eat today. They talk about the eggs they're going to buy. They're going to talk about their favorite recipes, but no one talks about the crucified Christ. Why? Because it's foolishness to those who don't believe. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 27, for God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I was told this the other day and I thought, well, I don't know if it's exactly true or not, but I like it and I'm going to include it in my message. We all know the story of the prodigal son. When a son with a rebellious parents, when a son is rebellious, the parents, according to Jewish law, could take him before the elders and the people of the city and have him stoned to death. You remember that from Scripture? So just parents, if you want to use a little threat against your children. Gosh, how many closer we've been, how many times have we been that close to doing it? But when Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, returning back to the father, having wasted all of his inheritance, the boy who turned from pig's will and decided he'd return home just as he was to do the father's will, it was the father who ran out to meet him. And we're familiar with that story. But tradition goes, he ran out to meet him to shield him from the stones of condemnation that would have been thrown, to shield him from the rubbish that would have been thrown and the refuse that would have been thrown. And in the father's heart was, I don't want my son to be condemned. So he ran out with love to cover him with love and with grace. Brothers and sisters, that's what redemptive lift is. When we deserved death, he brought us life. When we deserve judgment, he forgave us all our sins. This is the message of the cross. This is redemptive lift. Jesus scorned the shame for the joy set before him. We could not pay for our salvation. Someone had to pay the price. Redemptive lift reminds us, brothers and sisters, this morning that our debt has been taken away. The cross reminds us our debt has been paid. We owe God nothing except, in the words of the hymn writer who wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." We had this scripture this morning, but I'm going to read it again. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. The picture here is a signed IOU with our signature on it. We are hopelessly in debt. We don't have the resources to pay. We are in debt to God, and the debt condemns us. However, and I love God's however, the debt was paid for and cancelled. In the Greek language, cancelled is described this way, as obliterated, completely destroyed. We, through Jesus Christ, recognize that he paid for it all. When he was nailed to the cross, our debt was nailed there too. We now have been declared debt free. How good is that? Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Who likes the idea of being debt free? Yes. Hallelujah. Through Christ, we have been made debt free. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I want to say is this, that Satan has now been disarmed, displayed, and defeated. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We began this message by quoting from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. When I think about this, enduring the cross and scorning the shame, the only thing I could think of that could come close to Christ's attitude and heart at that moment of enduring the cross and scoring its shame is the true grit of redemption. We need to let that sink in. We have the picture of a lamb being taken to slaughter. But Jesus was the Lamb of God. But he was a lamb with true grit, with true courage. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. This is the language used to describe a conquering, unbroken, undefeated champion. It's Jesus. The pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, the one who took it all for us. And now he turns his attention to Jesus by means of the cross, how he dealt with the true enemy, the real enemy, the powers and authorities. We ask ourselves the question this morning, who are the powers and authorities mentioned here? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil and his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul is describing Satan and his fallen angels in all their levels of authority. And it was Satan who was disarmed, or as the King James Version says, spoiled and stripped off and unclothed of all his power and authority. I didn't get a big amen for that one. He is disarmed, displayed, and defeated. We have some little windows into this moment. When the 70 disciples returned to Jesus in Luke chapter 10, returned really excited, and they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name." And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." When did you think that happened? "I believed on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satan was cast out from heaven once and for all." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, but I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy." And listen to this, "Nothing will harm you." Take it on. Nothing will harm you. Why? Because he's been disarmed, displayed, and defeated. Hallelujah. "However, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Hallelujah. You don't have to know a lot of Bible, but you've got to know this, that your name's written in the book of heaven. Hallelujah. Who knows that their name's written in the book? Hallelujah. At the end of the service, we're going to give an opportunity, if you're not sure about that, that your name is written in the book of heaven, the Lamb's book of life, then we can tell you how your name can be written there. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 15, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I want to read now a whole section from Revelation chapter 12, and I want you to take this in. I just read over it a number of times and it just blessed my heart. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short." If we take anything out of this message from Good Friday, Satan has been defeated, but he knows his time is short. If he knows his time is short, then we should realize that the coming of Christ is not that far away as well. Hallelujah. God comes to us today with a message of redemptive lift, to lift you up and not push you down. We have the imagery of a little tiny lamp filled with oil, and it seems like the wick is just about gone out. There's hardly any flame. And the Bible says he's not going to quench that flame. Maybe today you feel like the oil has kind of run out in your life. Kind of smoky and hazy, there's not all much going on. But today, through Jesus Christ, through the cross, he wants to light the flame of your life. He, like the good father, wants to cover you from condemnation and from shame. He wants to remind you that everything that was against you, he has removed. There is no condemnation. This cross reminds us today that everything that's been written against you legally has been nailed to that cross. You are forgiven. You are debt free. You have freedom today in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?